Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're going to talk about the Central Virginia Battlefields Trust, kind of get reacquainted with our friends at the Central Virginia Battlefields Trust. It's been a while because of the current conditions. Tom Van Winkle, the president, is here, and Chris Makowski, who's on the board and is an author and a historian and all kinds of things here this morning. Guys, it's good to see you again, just to actually see you and not...
Yes, it's good not to be on a computer screen for a change. And by the way, since we've been here last, Chris has now been elevated to vice president of Central Virginia Battlefield Trust.
I did not know that. Yes, okay.
They're breaking, very hard up news. For talent.
We had to find somebody, and he missed the meeting.
I've got the president and vice president here today.
Yeah, you should see the committees I got put on. I missed that one meeting. I'm on so many committees now.
You will learn. You will learn. It is great to have you guys here. We have done a number of shows in the past, and it really kind of gotten into a groove, and then everything happened. I am sure, Tom, with what you do, this has been tough because you weren't able to have your spring convention in the way you normally do, and just a lot of the normal kind of programs that you do in the course of the year have been really impacted.
It absolutely has. We love to have that annual conference, and unfortunately, we had an abundance of caution. We decided to cancel that, and pretty much everything we do, including our own board meetings now, are all on the wonderful Zoom platform, which everybody can't get enough of these days. So it's good to get out and be face-to-face with anybody these days. It's just, it's been, cabin fever.
Well, that's why it's good to actually have you here. For people that aren't aware, talk a little bit about what the Central Virginia Battlefields Trust is all about, Tom.
Well, we were formed, next year will be our 25th year, it'll be our 25th anniversary, and we were formed basically to assist the Park Service in this area with saving Civil War battlefield land that they could not acquire for the requested price. And since then, we've gone on, and our mission statement is to save endangered battlefields on both the Fredericksburgs, Chancellorsville, Spotsylvania, and Wilderness battlefields, these four battlefields. And since we've gotten going, we've saved over 1,350 acres and invested a little over $8 million into what we do, and we're still working on it.
What is great about Central Virginia Battlefields Trust, Chris, is in a lot of these cases, it's a little bit of land here, it's a little bit of land there, but all of a sudden, you and I last year walked Myers Hill that the trust had been able to acquire, and it's just a little piece of land. But you start walking it, and as you explained what happened there and the significance, the land you've been able to save is really, to have lost some of this land would have just been tragic.
And that's one of the things that's so important is that, as local partners, this is history in our backyard. We know our neighbors. We know our friends. And so when one of these parcels comes up, it's really important to identify them, work with willing sellers to get them, and then we can piece together history back to the way it used to be. But unless you've got that ability to piece the puzzle together, mm-hmm. you never get to finally see the full puzzle. So, it's a lot of work and a lot of patience and a lot of time. Like, oh, this lot finally came up. That one may finally come up. And you just have to be patient about it. But the end result, as you point out, is that you finally get some property that you can walk. You can start to see what happened there. You can start to understand the history. And then the light bulbs start going off. Like, this is why they did that. Or, this is why they went in this direction. Because the land really is the most valuable primary source of information we have about a battle. And so preserving it becomes crucial.
Well, in Myers Hill, to me, was just fascinating, and I look forward to the day when it's opened up and anybody will be able to go and walk it, because it tells so many stories, and there's so much history on that land. There's just a lot of little a lot of things like wells or just different various, you know, whether there were rocks there that were there at that time. It tells a lot. It really fills in a story.
And one of the things that I love about Myers Hill particularly is that there are so many kinds of stories, because we think about battlefields and we think about the mud and blood, and, you know, that's kind of, you know, what gets people's interest in a lot of these stories. But there's a civilian story up there. I mean, there was a family that lived on that hill before the battle showed up. The battle completely upended their lives, and then they had to somehow come back and rebuild. And so that's a very compelling story. Then there's a great story about the commander of the Army of the Potomac, George Gordon Meade, who almost gets captured by Confederates up there. And so, you know, there's this great command story. Some of the Confederates that defended that hill were from this area. So you have hometown boys that are defending literally, you know, property in their backyard. So there's that layer. And then something else just that a lot of people are interested in are the Zouave units. These are units that wore very colorful uniforms based on the French Foreign Legion, bright red pantaloons, and, you know, just flashy. So they've got kind of their own little cult of followers. And one of the units that fought up there was involved with was a Zouave unit. And so you've got all these different kinds of stories. You can go up there, see the ruins of the home, see the earthworks that are up there. So we can talk about cultural resources. There's just so much, a wealth of information to talk about.
And it was interesting, as we stood there, I remember that day, and you can stand there and you can, the topography of the land stands out, and you can look over and you can see where the, you know, where the actual Spotsylvania battlefield, where it all fits in. And that's where we you all, and we're just talking about Myers Hill there. You can just with any kind of any piece of land that you've acquired has all kinds of interesting stories.
And Myers Hill was important for us because the Park Service preserves action kind of around the Muleshoe Salient and the Bloody Angle, and it really preserves the story of the Battle of Spotsylvania from May 8th when the armies first get there, through May 13th as the armies start to shift around. But after that, they extend their lines to the south and to the east, and that's property that's not preserved by the Park Service. And so the whole second week of the battle tends to get forgotten about because there's not a lot to drive through to see from the park's perspective. So preserving Myers Hill opens up that second week of the story because the action there happens on the 14th of May. And so now you piece that together with property that CVBT has preserved at Harris Farm, and now we get to start to tell a much fuller story of what happened at Spotsylvania.
I think, Tom, I think for me, the first time I really saw it was when Crispus mentioned Harris Farm. Seeing that, I didn't even know that existed over in that's the land over in the Bloomsbury subdivision,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's completely surrounded by a subdivision. If you didn't know it was there, you never would. But I do have one further thing on Myers Hill that we can announce. Just last week, we were able to announce that we retired the $450,000 mortgage on Myers Hill.
I did not know that. That's fantastic.
We have that taken care of now with our partners' donations and two grants that we received, that we can actually announce we have retired that entire property. We were looking to do it in 36 months. We did it several months before that point. So we are pleased to announce that we have now covered that mortgage and we're moving on to other projects.
Boy, to do that in these times, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, almost $500,000, $450,000. You think about that for a property that was just over 70 acres.
Yeah.
And the local support we've had from people to pitch in, to save that history, just you know, very gratifying that so many people locally wanted to make sure that that history got saved and to do it so quickly.
No, I remember we did a show shortly after you had purchased it, and we remember we had this discussion. Mm-hmm. So I did not, I somehow missed that last week. That is breaking news.
It is brand new. So don't feel bad about missing that, because we were actually saving that to come onto your show to talk about it. So
well, the great thing about that though now is you do something like that, and it opens you up and gives you options as you look at other pieces of property you'd like.
Yeah. The only caveat to that is when you get grants, federal grants, they will announce the grants, but it is many months before the check arrives in the mail.
Yeah.
So we're still paying on it until those grants come in, and then it completely technically is gone. But we're very pleased that we were able to do this ahead of time, and great to announce it.
Yeah. No,
and you'd mentioned about, you know, opening the property up and being able to see it. And that's one of the stipulations of one of the grants is that, you know, we have to make sure that there's public access to that property. And so that's something that we'll be working on once we're able to kind of get all this paperwork phase taken care of and get a trail in there and let people get up there and see it and explore that history and enjoy the money that, you know, enjoy the property that they helped preserve.
Yeah. No, can't wait. It's a great site. And when it opens up, it is something people are going to want to see. Tom Van Winkle here, Chris Makowski here, Central Virginia Battlefields Trust, CVBT.org, the website, and we will continue along. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
Central Virginia Battlefields Trust, our focus this morning. Tom Van Winkle, the president, is here. Chris Makowski, the vice president, is here. Tom, I mentioned CVBT.org, the website, and it is a fantastic website. It gives you all kinds of information on and pictures and different things that you've done and how to donate. As we talk about being able to pay off loans and things like that, that happens because people can partner up. And I know there are a lot of different levels that people can get involved.
Exactly. We use the term partner, and that's the term that we use. We've always felt that, you know, you're a member of something. You're not just a member of us. If you're donating to us, you're donating to saving history. So you're a partner in saving history. And we do have different levels. Our, you know, we'll take any donation, but our things start at $35 and move up. You get our new magazine that now is in its fourth or fifth issue, I believe, now, which we're just finishing one up for winter. At different levels, you get different things. And you can get into our General's Club, which is generally $1,000 or more. You get special invitations to some, historical things that we do, some things that will be led by Chris and another one of his committees, you know, that we volunteered him.
That's right. And then you have to pay $2,000 if you don't want to have to do that.
Yeah.
So that's
it's like $50 to go see him. And if you want to get away, it's quite a bit more.
It's a good setup.
No, but we have a lot of, you know, it's not just the warm and fuzzy feeling you get for saving history and being part of it, but there are different levels and different things you can get. And the website we change very often, so it's not stale. It's
no.
All different information all the time when you go on it.
Well, and I will say that a couple of years ago, I think when we first did our first show and we were having this discussion, and as we were having the discussion, I'm sitting here thinking, as much as I like history and doing all this stuff, why haven't I gotten involved? And so you talked me and indirectly to doing it. And it is, I mean, if you live here and you appreciate what this area has, this is a great organization and a great opportunity to save some of this stuff.
And I think that local angle is so important. A lot of people who are interested in battlefield preservation know of the American Battlefield Trust, and they're based in Washington, D.C. They're very important partners that we work with. We have a wonderful relationship with them. We've worked on a lot of projects that we can talk about here in a few minutes if you want. But they're a national organization, and they have a national scope, and so they're saving battlefields all across the country. They're saving battlefields from the Revolutionary War, from the War of 1812, from the Civil War. But if you want to help save battlefields in your backyard here in the Fredericksburg area,
yeah,
you know, that's our job. And so because of that focus, we're able to look at, like, as you said earlier, those local parcels that are too small for an American Battlefield Trust. You know, that doesn't show up in their radars. And so having that local connection is a really important way to save local history.
Yeah, it takes almost just as much work to save 500 acres as it does to save five. So, you know, as Chris says, American Battlefield Trust, you know, they may be out in Kentucky saving 500 acres. They're not really having the time to save the 2-acre track or the 3-acre track that we save, that we actually stitch together battlefields with. So we are actually the Fredericksburg region's local Civil War Battlefield Trust. I mean, we are grassroots, grown from here, and we are the community's own trust.
Well, and we were, you know, a few minutes ago when you were talking about the Harris Farm, and when I had first... It was towards the end of the anniversary, one of the anniversaries, and there was a program there that Frank O'Reilly did, and I remember I had never been there. I remember it was hard for me to even find it, and all of a sudden I realized, and that's when I put the connection together that piece of land in you all, and I just thought, wow, this is such a significant piece of history right here in the middle of a subdivision. And then I got to looking around and saw all that you did. And like you said, it's that local angle of just some acres here and there that really continue to tell the story.
And I think the thing that we're fortunate about with Harris Farm in particular is because that was a low-density subdivision, you can still see the landscape, even though there are a lot of houses on it now. But you can stand on that parcel that CVBT owns and kind of look out through that subdivision and still see the topography and understand how the movements took place. But so much of the development in this area isn't low density. It's high density, and they raise the ground. I mean, if you look at Salem Church as a perfect example, I mean, they literally scooped out part of the ridge, you know, so you don't have that high ground anymore that made that place so important. And so, you know, you lose the ground. You literally lose your ability to see the history.
Now, you all have done a great job with all of these individual parcels of telling the stories and making it so, you look at some of these spots that you have and you just think, what would the history be here? And you've done a great job of telling it.
Well, and I think Tom can speak to this because that's really been part of our evolving mission, because for the longest time we were preserving dirt and grass and it was all about save it. But at some point, we had to start telling the stories of some of these properties.
Yeah, it's. I always call it the so what. Yeah. All right, you save this now. That's great, but so what? Well, the reason we save this is there's a story or stories to tell on this. And as Chris keeps alluding to, the topography. You know, anybody in military will tell you the military plan never survives its first shot. Well, if you get, it's one thing to read a book. It's great to read a book. But if you can go out and stand on the ground that you're reading about, the first thing you see in it is the topography, the swells, the ridges. You understand why it was planned for a regiment or someone to go this way, and they had to go this way. Mm-hmm. Well, the land, the topography didn't allow them to do what they did. Everything changes when you see the land. So to be able to stand there and actually see the land and what they had to face, you know, some of the things that were, you know, a small creek of 6 feet wide and 2 feet deep. You'd say, well, that's nothing. Well, we'll try to, and it's not in a straight line. We're talking Slaughter Pen Farm had it. Mm-hmm. And you take 1,000 troops and they're coming in line and they don't go over that creek and come out in line. It changes everything. So the topography is very interesting and important. So that's why saving this land alludes to telling the stories. And you know, it's stories of individuals, stories of, you know, the battle itself. They're all told right there standing on this land.
Yeah. And I was just to add to that, you know, a lot of people will go and they'll look at a field and be like, okay, so it's a field. So unless you make that extra step to explain what happened on that field, to then, you know, really impress the importance of that field, a lot of people get back to that, so what? Okay, so it's a field. Why is this field any different than the one down the road or the field across the street? Or, well, you know, so you have to be able to fill in those gaps for them so they can appreciate what happened on that field.
No, you know, the topography, I know what we mentioned a minute ago with Myers Hill played a big part. And even the Stonewall Jackson's march, you see that, you go on that and you definitely see the topography, because at some point you can't even hear or see Route 3. You can see how things happen when you start, like you say, instead of just reading in a book. You actually walk it or look at it like that, and it changes. You understand things.
Yeah, and that's why I think the Slaughter Pen is a great battlefield for understanding topography. I always like to talk about topography out there because, you know, when you first pull in, it looks like a big, wide open, flat field.
Yep.
And as soon as you start walking across that field and you discover all these little quirks to the landscape that affect the way troops are able to move on that landscape, and it throws off the plan, as Tom mentioned, and then suddenly the whole dynamic of what happened there changes, and it's all because of the topography. And so the trail that's out there today, you can walk that trail and then suddenly see some of these little quirks and inconsistencies and understand the battle a whole lot better.
Yeah, that little creek that goes through there.
Mm-hmm. Wilderness Battlefield is the same. You get out of Saunders Field, you get up there and you realize that these little valleys in there and areas where you didn't see the troops laying there fighting over. Or just the wilderness itself, or the 70 plus square miles, you know, of just dense forest, where again you start to put an army in one line and they trickle out in total disarray on the other end. It's all toll right there.
Now, Saunders Field's another great example because I've driven by that, had driven by that for years, and you actually go, and like you say, you stop, you get out, and you start walking around a little bit, and it looks totally different from the field than what you see from the as you just drive by on Route 20 on the road.
Yeah. And it's simple things like, where is the tree line in relation to a ridge?
Mm-hmm.
Look, there's a swale that cuts across this field, but it cuts diagonally. And so if you're walking in a straight line across the field with your troops and you hit this diagonal swale, well, that's going to throw off your formation. Some of those men are going to be exposed to enemy fire. Some of them aren't. So some of them are going to stop and some of them won't. And then that suddenly impacts the momentum of your attack. Some guys then get shielded from different perspectives and again, those tree lines. And so all these different components have very important dynamics for the soldiers who are out there on those landscapes.
CVBT.org, again, is the website for the Central Virginia Battlefields Trust. So, Tom, I guess if people are interested in getting involved and finding out more, probably the best place to start is to go to the website first.
Definitely go to the website. It lists everything we've done, why we do it. You can read about the properties we saved, why we saved them, what happened there, see pictures of them. We always put breaking news on there and anything, keeping it up to date. And if you want to donate and become a partner, you can do it right from the website. And we do definitely think it's a good idea to get on that website and donate.
Well, it is, and you mentioned the magazine again another the magazine's all local, and it's dealing with places around here that you can see and easily get to.
Yeah, you could read an article and easily walk out on the battlefield with it and stand there like we're talking about and understand and stand on the area that we've just written about. So yeah, it's very local, and we tell a lot of great stories and a lot of stories that haven't been they're not so well known. Where this new issue is, our theme is reimagining the wilderness, the battle of the wilderness, and we're not going to tell the same old stories. There's some new ones in there that I can guarantee many people have never heard of and never knew happened there.
Speaking of new things, Chris, you're always working on a book. Are you working on anything new right now?
I'm working on something top secret.
Oh, okay.
I actually do have a book that'll be coming out next year from the University of Tennessee Press. They've got a great series of books about command decisions of the Civil War, and they asked me to write the volume on Fredericksburg, and so just finished up the book. Now they take a considerable amount of time in a university press to get a book out, it examines the critical decisions of the Fredericksburg campaign, and you know what was a pivotal moment that drastically changed or inexorably changed the course of the battle. And I identified 13 different critical points.
We'll have to do a show strictly on that next year when that comes out.
I'd love to. And for me, it was a neat way to relook at the Battle of Fredericksburg. Instead of just sort of a straight narrative, let me pick a couple key moments and really peel back the onion on those moments. And so for me, it was a fun way to look at the battle a little differently than I normally do.
Yeah. No, you think of it, there were a number of moments, so I look forward to talking to you about that in a future program. Chris Makowski here, Tom Van Winkle here. We're talking Central Virginia Battlefields Trust, CVBT.org, the website. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's now 8:31.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
We are talking Central Virginia Battlefields Trust this morning with Tom Van Winkle, who's president. Chris Makowski is vice president. Tom, you mentioned a little bit earlier that next year being the 25th anniversary, that's a big anniversary, and I'm sure you've got some things planned. And spring is when you usually have your big conference.
Correct. And again, last year we unfortunately had to cancel it. But next year, being our 25th anniversary, and you're right, it is a big anniversary. I'm not so sure that all the founding members ever thought we'd be around after 25 years, because actually, we always work to try to put ourselves out of business to save everything that should be saved and could be saved. But about that, we're going to be around a long time following that process. But next year, April 16th, 17th, and 18th, we are going to have our 25th anniversary annual conference, and it's called Back to Our Roots. We're going to go back to the style of when CVBT started. Our most recent conferences have been in a hotel and in a nice environment and all that. We started under a tent on our first battlefield that we saved, serving barbecue and sitting on plastic chairs and tables and bales of hay. We're going to do that all over again. We're going to be setting up on one of our flank attack properties that we've saved years ago, and we're going to be under a tent. We're going to have all the things that we did when we started, you know, I mean, the bales of hay, but we'll be comfortable on chairs and everything under the tent. We're going to have barbecue because we always chuckle that's our own Civil War because half want Carolina and half want the, you know, Virginia-based type thing. So we have to have both to appease everybody. But we're going to just go back to where we started, and we're going to reminisce a little bit with some guests, previous presidents and founding members and some Park Service people. We'll talk a little bit about CVBT and what it's meant to the area. And we're going to have two small tours. We're going to do one at Willis Hill at Fredericksburg, which was our first purchase. That was combined purchase, helping out what was Civil War Trust at the time. They just became Civil War Trust basically after the American Preservation of Civil War sites, and they merged, I believe. I'm correct on that at that timing. And we're going to have another one at Salem Church. Twofold reason for Salem Church is as part of the Second Battle of Fredericksburg, which we don't normally do. And it's... We call it the poster child of how not to save something. Salem Church, as you know, if you want to get to it, you have to know it's there, and then you have to have a lot of patience to get to it.
Yeah, it's all one-way streets and things.
Route 3 and then everything surrounding it, it makes it very difficult to get to, and many people kind of give up and don't go to it. Yeah, but it's a really neat place to go. So, and then on Sunday morning, we're going to have a breakfast with some speakers over at Stevenson Ridge. So it's going to be a good... different weekend for most people because the people who have been coming to us normally have not seen what we've done in the beginning. And actually, I think it's going to be a lot of fun because sometimes when you strip away things and bring it down to the way it used to be, it comes more fun, more loose, and you know, it's going to be a nice event, not as serious as normal, although I'm not, as Chris will tell you, I'm not totally a serious person. I try to lend some humor in things if you can put humor into war. But, it's 16th, 17th, and 18th of April of next year. So that will be up on our website within the next 2 weeks. You can register and have all the information on it.
Boy, that to reach, though, especially with what you do and with everything going on over the years and the changing economies and all, to make it and to have the impact that you're having, this is significant.
It is. And the other side of what we're doing, not just going back to our roots, we don't know where we're going to be with our current situation with COVID.
I know, just thinking, you can do it.
We're doing outdoors. Mm-hmm. And our tours are going to be a car caravan, so the people will be in their own safety of their own cars and feel comfortable. We're not going to pack anybody in buses or anything. So this is kind of designed to see where we were and to also make it more, you know, comfortable in whatever the environment is next April. And who knows what that's going to be, but we'll be very safe about it all. So
we keep coming around to it, and it's important to realize what you've done in this area and that it is in this area.
And one of the things too, though, is like we have a lot of folks from out of the area who come to the conferences. One of the nice things this organization has done over the course of 2.5 decades is develop a reputation for stewardship that attracts a lot of attention. And because these are four famous marquee battles, you know, there are fans of these battles who live all across the country. And so because we have worked so hard to preserve land associated with those battles, people come to our conferences from all over the country so that they can spend time on this ground because it's important to them. So, you know, having that mix of folks from out of the area come in along with folks who've been here with us for, 25 years, that's a really neat dynamic to be part of.
CVBT.org is the website again. And you said, what, in a few weeks you'll be able to even sign up?
2 weeks or so we'll have registration, everything set for you to sign up. So save the dates.
Yeah, don't wait and get that taken care of. CVBT.org. So, Tom, all the properties that you have and that the Trust has been able to acquire over the years, any favorite?
Actually, yeah. My standard answer to that is the next one. The next property that we save is my favorite property, and that will always be my answer. We're not finished. We don't know when we'll be finished or if we'll be finished, but that next property to me, that one we're striving to get, is my favorite property.
I knew you were going to be like a father. which of your children do you like the best?
I can't choose, you know.
They're all special to me.
Yes, in different ways, yes.
So I know you can't say, but I always ask you. I mean, I know that I'm sure there are ongoing negotiations that you're always doing, that you always have you always got your eye somewhere on something you'd like to add to the collection here.
Yeah, we have, I'll say, three right now that we're working on. One has been in negotiation for over 2 years. As Chris was alluding to at one point, he said, you know, these purchases are, you know, a lot of people think, oh, this property comes up and you go over there, knock on the door, how much you want for it, here's a check. It never, ever, to my knowledge, has that ever happened to anything we've ever done. We've either got people that don't want to sell just now, or they want a life estate, and that gets complicated, or you've got siblings involved. If you've got more than one sibling, no one will agree, and that goes on for years. You may have federal or government entities involved, and need not go any further than that. That takes a while. So, yeah, we're working on three right now, and in the statement that I released last week about retiring the Myers Hill mortgage, I made a statement in there that's very important, that sometimes you won't hear from us as far as purchasing a property for quite a while. And that's because of these negotiations and the intricacies of what has to be done. But believe me, it's not from inactivity. We are working on these all the time. Terry, our executive director who's been here, if you ask him, he's constantly on the phone or an email or doing paperwork or trying to figure out some way we can get something done. But it's difficult.
Yeah. And the key is that we always work with willing sellers. So sometimes it takes a while to just get somebody to yes, you know? And and so, you know, that just involves building relationships, building trust, having conversations over the long term, and really kind of getting to a place where everybody's feeling comfortable with wanting to do something.
That goes back to us being, you know, the county, this area's land trust. We always look for win-win situations. There are things we could do to force a situation. We will never do that, ever. Because we don't just, if we purchase a property, we still stay in touch with the people who sell it to us. They may become part of the organization in some manner. But we will never do anything that will reflect bad upon us or do any harm to anyone else. It's always a win-win situation. And also, we have a list. Believe me, we have a list of properties that we want to obtain in priority. The problem is properties don't come up for sale in that priority list.
Right.
They just don't want to follow what we want to do.
Yeah.
So you know, we are, as Chris says, an organization of opportunity. One may come up somewhere where that was at the bottom of the list, but it came up. And we know we need it because when we get these other ones, it'll tie together. Sometimes you got to work backwards, work from the middle out, but you'll never get the list going in the lines order you want. So you got to have a far-ranging plan and know we want to do this with this area. So when things come up, it may not be when we want them, but we've got to handle them when they come up.
Yeah, and that long-range plan just requires a lot of patience. You know, area that we've talked a lot about is the area where Jackson's flank attack took place at Chancellorsville in May of 1863. And, you know, just a lot of homes through there. And the American Battlefield Trust has had the chance to purchase some property out there. We've had the chance to purchase some property out there. But that's just going to take decades and decades to piece that back together. And you've just got to be patient and, you know, keep up those relationships.
Well, and it takes, like, I think, Chris, like somebody like you who just really intimately knows a lot of these battlefields and where things took place, because it always amazes me. You all pull this, just a number of these different case situations I'll see when you'll acquire something, and it's something I've driven by for, you know, years. Had no idea it was anything but just a, you know, just an empty piece of land, and it turns out it was significant.
Right, right. Well, and you know, you mentioned Saunders Field out at the Wilderness earlier, and that's part of the National Park Service. But if you think about how many people bullet down that road at 65 or 70 miles an hour and zip through that battlefield without maybe even knowing that they're going through a battlefield.
Most don't.
Yeah, and so and our history is like that all around us here, and we're so oblivious because we're busy getting from point A to point B that we forget to look out the window and be like, oh, gosh, that's beautiful. I wonder what happened there. And there are stories everywhere.
We're talking to Central Virginia Battlefields Trust here this morning, Chris Makowski and Tom Van Winkle here from Central Virginia Battlefields Trust. The whole purchase of Slaughter Pen Farm, I know, was an interesting situation because you were involved in that, right?
Yeah, the Central Virginia Battlefield Trust was involved with that years before it really took hold. We were talking with the owners out there, and we were in the $3 million range at one point, which at that time was still, to even today, is an enormous amount of money for us. And I think the Shannon Airport was also interested in it because they wanted to expand their property. And basically what happened at one point is the wife had some conversation with the individual over at Shannon Airport, and something was said that offended the wife, and she went back and told the husband, we're just not going to ever deal with them. So as time went on, the American Battlefield Trust got involved with it. And, of course, as time goes on, prices go up. And what wound up happening is the selling price of that property was $12 million for a little over 200 acres. And that still stands today as the most money paid for a single battle, Civil War battlefield purchase to date. And the board of ABT was deciding not to do it because of that price. Little old us said, "We, what can we do to help out?" Well, little old us decided, and this was under the presidency of, of Dr. Mike Stevens at the time, said, "Well, we'll pitch in $1 million if you guys, meaning the American Battlefield Trust, will do this." And actually what happened is because of a little organization like us that that felt that strongly about it and pitched in $1 million we didn't have at the moment, they decided to do it. So this is a story of a partnership, again, with ABT, which we partner with quite a bit, both in both directions. And it got done. It got purchased. And it took us quite a while, but we did fulfill our commitment of that $1 million to purchase, help purchase that battlefield. But this is kind of like, I always say, if you don't care who gets the credit, anything can be done. And that's kind of the way we work. But, you know, ABT has always given us credit and how much that was important to them. But and behind the scenes on that, a little known thing is that that purchase almost didn't happen because of cats. The furry animal cats. The wife, the property owner, had what she called barn cats, and quite a few of them.
Because there was a barn there.
Yeah, and she was extremely worried about what was going to happen to her barn cats. And that factored into the conversation to where somebody, I don't know who, got her understanding, we'll take care of the cats. I don't know what that meant. I'm sure they're fine somewhere.
Yeah.
But little things like that can get into a conversation about a multi-million-dollar property and actually throw a monkey wrench in it at times.
So Tom mentioned a few moments ago Dr. Mike Stevens, who I think is like the patron saint of local battlefield preservation.
Yeah, we call him the Reverend. His oratory skills.
But since we're talking a little bit about getting back to our roots here, I'm actually going to ask Tom if he'll just talk about Dr. Mike for a second, because really we wouldn't be here as an organization if it wasn't for Dr. Mike.
Dr. Mike is a regional phenomenon. We call him the Reverend because he's very Lincoln-esque. Let's put it that way. If I was to suggest you were comparing him to anybody, it would be Lincoln. He's very well-spoken, very committed, extremely passionate about battlefield preservation. And he's a two-term president of the CVBT for many years, a founding member. You can't say enough about what Mike has done for this area, for battlefield preservation in general. He's given time and treasure to it of a level that I can't even explain. And he's held CVBT together for years. Very soft-spoken type of person that when he says something, not me, like I babble on all the time, as Chris will attest to, but Dr. Mike, when he says something, it's kind of like that E.F. Hutton commercial from years ago. Yeah. Everybody listens.
Yeah.
So he is a huge part of why we're still here and why we were formed in the very beginning to start with.
It's interesting. I mean, the history, and we'll have to do in the spring probably a show or two and just talk about the history, because 25 years is important. And you have saved such significant things, and I look forward to seeing, you know, what's next. What else is on that master
are we,
list?
Yeah. We are too.
Do you ever run into situations when you approach that a landowner has no idea, or do most landowners know that their property does have some Civil War significance?
I can't remember anybody who has not known it. Once we approach them, or they know we're about to approach them, they'll make sure they know it, because the price generally goes up.
Yeah.
Oh, this happened here. Well, now I don't want this for it. I want that for it. So,
but it always to this day strikes me as amazing how many people live here and don't really understand fully the history that happened here. And that goes all the way back to the Revolutionary era history that we have here. And people think, oh, I didn't know that, or I didn't realize this, or, oh, yeah, we've got earthworks. I didn't know anything about them. You know, it might even be something like that. But, you know, one of the, I think, fun parts of our job is that ongoing effort to educate people about what happened in their own backyards and why this is important, not just to us, but to you as people who live here and to us as a community, because people come from all around the world
to see
these battlefields. Yeah. And that's a pretty incredible thing.
Well, and the earthworks to me, because I came here 30 some years ago and was just blown away when you see those earthworks, and even today it's kind of a wonderment. You look at that and you just think that it's survived all this time, and that, you know, those are the real things,
and that's a tangible connection that we have to people who are just like us. Like, you know, some schmo like me had to dig those probably under fire, and when you can get into, you know, every earthwork has a story and who dug it and what that unit went through and what they were going through at the moment and where they would end up and where they came from. Wow, that's just a lot more than just a pile of dirt.
In 25 years, when I started walking the battlefields and look at earthworks, then I look at the account of the battle, I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. And then you find out, well, Confederates dug it this way, and then they left, and the Union came in and refaced it the other direction, and just that pile of dirt itself, you could stand there for quite a bit of time and figure out what happened.
Yeah.
CVBT.org, the website for Central Virginia Battlefields Trust. Tom Van Winkle and Chris Makowski here. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk,
Tom Van Winkle and Chris Makowski here this morning from the Central Virginia Battlefields Trust. I didn't realize how much I missed you guys till you came in this morning.
Oh, we love you too, Ted.
We can't hug or anything, but we're here and we're spread out. And the big news, the Myers Hill property that you acquired a few years ago, you've been able to take care of that mortgage.
Yes, we have.
Which
is very thankful for everybody who donated and took part in that.
And for me, I'm really excited that we get to evolve that property and interpret that property and help people get out there. So our work with that property is really just beginning.
Yeah, no, you and I did a video there about a year and a half ago.
Yeah,
and we'll have to go back out there and trudge around there again, just because it's a fascinating story there. April 16th through the 18th next year, 25, you celebrate your 25th anniversary, Tom.
Correct. Big conference, a lot of fun. Couple weeks, everything will be on the website, and we appreciate it if everybody would show up. You'd have a lot of fun, meet a lot of different people.
And if you're looking for a nonprofit that just does terrific work in this area, check out cvbt.org. Go to donate and see the various levels that you can be involved in. As we mentioned earlier, this is all local. Chris.
All local. And even if you don't like battlefield preservation, green space is so important now. Mm-hmm. So it's a really important opportunity to just preserve green space in this area. But the battlefield history is all the more important.
CVBT.org, the website for Central Virginia Battlefields Trust. Tom Van Winkle is president. Chris Makowski is vice president. You've been elevated since the last time you were in here. Guys, it's great to see you. It's thanks for what you do in the community, because we have mentioned it over and over again. It is greatly appreciated and very important. And see you soon.
Thank you so
much.
Thank
you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Central Virginia Battlefields Trust, our focus. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.